Show of hands, how many people made some type of New Year's resolution, some type of goal you set for yourself, some kind of commitment? I know that sometimes you ask for crowd participation and someone exaggerates and says, oh, one person. But literally one person raised their hand just now and I asked. It's okay if you didn't, but surely more than one. How many people made a New Year's resolution? Okay. That's great. All right, well, seven. Whatever, it's okay. I'm sure at some point in the past, you or someone you know or someone you've heard of, I think that covers it, has made some type of New Year's resolution. We at least all know what one is. Show of hands if you know what one is. That's so much better. That's what I expected the first time. Anyway, I was kind of curious about this, so I did some research. So I typed something into Google, and I wanted to know what the most popular New Year's resolutions were for 2016, and I found a top 10 list that I want to share with you now. The first one, we can probably all say it together, lose weight. Everybody wants to lose weight. Nobody does it. Number two, get organized. That was the second most popular for 2016. Number three, spend less and save more. Number four, enjoy life to the fullest. Number five, stay fit and healthy. So if you lost weight last year, this year you want to stay fit and healthy and maintain that. You want to learn something new. Number seven was quit smoking. Number eight was help others achieve their dreams. Never heard that one before, but apparently it's pretty popular. Number nine, fall in love. And 10, spend more time with family. So this is the top 10 list for the most popular New Year's resolutions in 2016. One thing that I was kind of interested in, and this really doesn't have anything to do with the lesson, just my reaction to this list, there wasn't really anything that was spiritually driven, okay? So I think that if we were to poll this audience and say, what are the top 10 things that we would take away from this crowd in this body tonight, I think there would probably be a lot of people who would say, I want to improve my prayer life. I want to spend more time with God. I want to improve my relationship with God. I want to know Him better. And I found it interesting that none of that showed up in the overall top 10. But whether you're in that top 10 or something completely different, you've got goals. But the same company that did this research wanted to investigate how successful people were at achieving these goals. And this is a natural thing to want to know, because all of us, whether we consciously make a decision to do something better or differently this year, all of us have a tendency to look at the end of the year and say, I have a new beginning that's coming up. And so we naturally evaluate the previous 12 months. We looked at things that we neglected to do, things that we could have done better, and we say, these are things that I want to change next year. And so they ran the numbers, and what they found is that 45% of Americans usually, more often than not, will make a resolution. 17% of Americans will sometimes or infrequently make a resolution at the beginning of the year. And then roughly 38% of Americans never make a resolution. So if we take these top two numbers, that gives us a total of 62%. So that means that potentially 62% of Americans on January 1st of this year made some type of resolution, set some type of goal that they want to achieve this year. So if you look at the population, that's roughly 198 million people who set some type of goal for this year. 8% actually achieved that goal, looking historically. 8% of people that set some type of New Year's resolution actually achieve that resolution. 8%. That's low. Why do you think it's so low? I think it's because these goals are made for the wrong reasons. So the way I think about it, if you get wheeled out of a Cheesecake Factory on December 31st, odds are you're not going to drastically change your diet and lifestyle overnight simply because tomorrow is January 1st. If today you are self-centered and egocentric, you're probably not going to change your entire demeanor and attitude overnight and suddenly help someone achieve their dreams tomorrow simply because it's January 1st. People make goals for the wrong reason. Change is born out of something deeper. It's a calculated thing that requires time and investment and sacrifice. These goals that we make are destined to fail because we put so little time into making the changes necessary to achieve them. A fresh calendar is not enough. True change is something that's deeper than that. It's something that starts in the heart. and grows from there. This semester, the theme is astonished. We're going to be spending time in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, where Jesus is challenging his audience to change everything about their way of life. He doesn't focus on their actions. He focuses on their heart, because he knows that from the heart, action will be born. He says, yeah, you've heard that you shouldn't murder. We all agree. But I don't even want you to look at someone with hatred in your heart. You've heard don't commit adultery, but don't even look at someone with lust in your heart. He makes it about the heart, not about the outward manifestation of what's happening inside. And at the end of these chapters, we come to the capstone verse in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 28, and it says, and when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching. This verse is translated a few different ways. NIV has it at amazed. The Message paraphrases it by saying they burst into applause. And I like the way all of that sounds, but to me, the ESV captures it best when it says they were astonished. They could not believe the scope and the beauty and the magnitude of what Jesus had just told them. Imagine the impact that Jesus' words must have had on these people when he told them to love their enemies, when he told them to stop worrying so much about money, when he told them to stop unfairly judging people that they don't even know. He was asking them to change their lives and, transitively, their entire culture. It was a radical message, and hearing it for the first time, these people were floored by it. He spoke to them in a way that no one had ever spoken to them before. He spoke to them as someone having authority, not like the teachers of the law. Matthew 7 and verse 29. But as powerful as these words were then, as impactful as they were then, they're no less powerful now. They're no less impactful now. And so this semester, as we go through week by week and we break down the words of Jesus, odds are we are going to be uncomfortable with some of the things he has asked us to do. We are going to be forced to make changes based on the words of Jesus. We are going to be astonished by the things that he says. And when we are astonished, when we are convicted, when it begins in the heart, then a change in action will be born. As we go throughout this semester, we've got, as always, a great lineup of speakers, but I'm really excited about what this group is going to do with this series. And so, if you weren't here at the end of last semester, we announced all the guys who are going to be leading us week to week, and I want to go through that list again. So tonight, if you haven't been already, I would love for you to start encouraging these guys and praying for them as they get ready for their lesson, as they get ready to lead all of us in this series. Next week, we're going to be starting off with Parker Pierce. Keith Pickard will be the week after that, and then Drew Cruz, Landon Moore, Colton Alexander, Justin Morris, Will Jones, Sam Wilson, Caleb Richardson, Michael Bolton, Nathan Woolard, Chad Brown, and Lucas Russo. These guys will be leading the 5:45 service. In addition to that, we have two Sunday nights set aside where we will feature university speakers. The first is February 7th with William Bush, and the next is April 24th with Nathan Diller. Please be encouraging them and praying for them as they prepare to lead us through this study. Now we're going to switch gears, and Wayne Scott is coordinating the university class this semester, Sundays at 9 a.m., and he's going to come up and give you an idea of what you can expect.
First of all, I'd like to encourage you to come to the class on Sunday morning. We typically have anywhere from between 75 and 100. And we have room for a lot more than that. We have some refreshments, and we'd love to have you there at the class. One of the things we're going to do this semester in the class is I'm going to try to engage some young men to teach the class as well, so they will have a leading role in it. But the topic that we're going to be studying is gray areas. And the whole idea behind this is how we can make sense of the uncertain, how we can know the truth when life isn't black and white. We live in a world of infinite possibilities, even when we're addressing important moral and ethical issues. And for some questions, there just doesn't seem to be right or wrong answers. And even worse than that, in some situations, there seems to be several right answers. And not only do good people disagree, but really good people disagree as well. And they really disagree. And so a lot of the issues we face don't have a direct scriptural response. And this study is going to seek for us to address some of these issues and give us guidance on how to address more of these issues throughout our life. And as you age and mature, I know you face a lot more of these gray areas in your life, and you're going to see a lot of them. Some of the topics that we're going to talk about is there truth that I can trust? We're going to talk about honesty. We're going to talk about addiction. We're going to talk about dating. We're going to talk about divorce, sexual identity, and also living in the land of shadows. And so there's a lot of good material that we're going to be covering, and I would encourage you to be with us. We'll start this Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, and it's in the old auditorium or the college chapel there. We would love to have you be a part of that class on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock.
Every semester we tell you how much we want you to be part of anything that is related to the university ministry. We have a lot of exciting things going on this semester, but that is always secondary to our desire for you to be part of this body, the body of Christ. And tonight, it is our hope that maybe for the first time you have been astonished by the words of Jesus. You have been convicted in your heart, and that is pushing you to commit your life to Christ through baptism. If you would like to do that tonight, we would love for you to come, and we would love to assist you with that. Or maybe you need to be reconvicted and re-astonished by the words of Jesus, and you need to recommit your life to Him this evening. If you have any tonight, we hope that you'll come now while we stand and sing together.